The message today, we've entitled it, this is our third week about first things first and keeping first things first. You know, 2022, how many of you know every year it's full of choices you and I make, right? Whether we go on a good road or whether we go on a bumpy road, the choices we make really make a difference. So in order to make good choices, I just have these couple of fill-ins. If you've got your sermon notes, they're in the bulletin, fill it in. A person that lives making good choices, how many of you know you got to do it daily, is a person that will live with purpose and significance. Amen? How many of you realize it's got to be a daily choice? The opposite is true as well. The person that does not make purposeful choices each day will live a reactionary life. What does that mean? It means everything in my life, I'm reacting, right? And I've always had this envisioned of a pinball game like the old pinball. How many of you remember before everything's computerized? And like our life is that pinball, and a reactionary life is getting bounced off of bumper to bumper. And it's like, oh, man, this thing. Oh, man, this thing. And you know, how many of you know eventually, no matter how good you're at pinball, eventually it's going to go down the gutter. Isn't that true? And it's like, if you live reactionary, your end goal is going to, or purpose is going to be down the gutter. But if you live with purpose every day and make good choices every day, I heard somebody say it like this, like life in the right direction is not made by choices we make occasionally. It's made by choices we make daily. Amen. Like if you really want to lose weight and you say, man, I ate salad for dinner 3 times last month. I don't know why I'm not losing weight, right? Okay, the other days I ate triple cheeseburgers and all of that, but it's like, come on. You got to do that stuff on a regular basis, amen? So week one, if you missed it, we talked about choosing your passion. How many of you know our passions are a choice of our will? We get to choose what we're passionate about. And so I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Last week we talked about guarding our heart, and those are choices as well. We allow certain things in. How many of you know we got to restrict some things? And today I've titled it, you can see the title, is Reframe It. And so all of those require choices to be made. Now I want to back up and tell a story. When we lived in Texas, we pastored there. Our kids were all in elementary school at that time. One thing I realized, and I think they do it here in California too, do they do mandatory vision tests for kids different ages? Okay, good. I figured they would, but I didn't know. So in Texas, it was like kindergarten, first grade, third grade, fifth grade, and seventh grade. They would go in and get a vision test because, you know, when the kids are little, they don't always know, man, I can't see things very well. I remember Timothy, when he was in fifth grade, he had his vision test. We didn't know it. He came home with a note, and it says, you need to take your son to go get an eye test. His vision is not good. And we didn't know that. I mean, he didn't even know that, right? He always sat in the front of the class, he always said, because that's how he could see the board, but we didn't even know that part. So anyway, we went in, his vision was not good. And still remember, we finally picked up his glasses when they came in. He's in the back seat looking out the window, and this is the statement he made. He goes, wow, I can see the separation in the leaves on the tree. So, I know everybody, oh, how many of you think that made us feel good as parents? Your son is blind and you don't even know it, right? You don't care. And I got this one. It was like, this is what, I found this on the internet. Like I think he might have been looking something similar to that. All of a sudden, glasses, it's like, wow, you can see the separation in the leaves. And the other day, I was showing him that picture. I said, is that kind of what things were like back then? And he took his glasses off, and his vision has gotten worse over the years. He goes, no, they look the same to me. So here's the thing that I want to say. He didn't know that his vision was blurry until he put on the right lenses. Amen? And I think that life is kind of like that too. Sometimes you don't realize that you're seeing life and the circumstances of your life in a blurry vision because you're not seeing things correctly. We've got bad vision. Here's the danger in not seeing things clearly is how many of you know we make life decisions based off a blurry vision. We make moves, I'm moving, I'm tired of this place, based off of blurry vision. You might choose to date somebody and you're not seeing, or making financial decisions. Come on, you don't have to raise your hand on that. We make those things without clarity of vision. And then, you know, and don't raise your hand on this as either. Anybody ever make a decision you later regretted because you didn't see the full picture? I think most of us could raise our hand on that. If you just had that hindsight, Lord, if I would have just seen this before, I would have never done that. And let me just say, in a couple of weeks, we'll be starting our small groups back up. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that. We'll be talking about it. But part of the reason is that you get other people around you that when you're going through that time and maybe you're feeling like your vision is not clear, you can ask other people, hey, listen, I've got this opportunity, I got this choice, I got this decision. And because you are actually close with other people and you've built some relationship, they can give you a different point of view, right? A different angle, because sometimes we get tunnel vision, amen? Like, oh man, especially when you're in a situation where maybe there's pain or a lot of pressure. How many of you know, the more pain and pressure, the narrower your vision becomes, amen? Like you're all I can see is my pain. All I can see is my circumstance. And so we've got to get a bigger picture, amen? So I don't know what this year holds for any of us. I don't know what it holds for me, but I do know that you have a choice to choose what lens you see that through. Amen? Like there's pressures, challenges. How many of you know you're going to face challenges this year? Some of you guys have already faced challenges, right? And let me just tell you a couple things about challenges. Some challenges we face is because of the choices we make. How many of you know we put ourselves into that situation? You're like, well, I don't think I did. It's kind of like you made a bad decision. Now you're suffering. It's like having heartburn and you're thinking, I knew I shouldn't have eaten that pizza at 10 o'clock at night. Right? That was a bad choice. I shouldn't have done that. But life has bigger issues that come up. But there are also some challenges that it's no choice of yours. You didn't make it. It's the fact that you're living in this world. And there are a lot of things that are out of our control. Amen? We can't control it, but again, we can control how we see those circumstances and situations that come. Let me give you a different illustration that might make it a little more understandable. Like occasionally when Colleen and I get out and maybe we get a vacation or go somewhere, we like stopping by those art studios. Anybody ever do that? Just go in and look at some of the art, and most of it doesn't make any sense anyway. Right? Like, what? Why is that worth $5,000? Are you kidding me? And the one art I do get is in South Lake Tahoe, the Dr. Seuss Museum. Right? Come on, I understand. Anybody ever been to that one? If you haven't, it's in South Lake Tahoe. It's like, oh, okay, well, this one's kind of cool. I get this. He's got a weird mind. So, but here's the thing. We have noticed occasionally we'll go into some of those places and the person that's there will come up and ask questions and like, you know, oh, do you, you know, let me explain this to you. So you may go in and you see something like that. And I'm like, that's interesting. And they're like, and they start explaining it to you. And, or you come upon this one right here and you're like, okay, well, that's probably not going to go on my living room wall. And they're telling you about it, and oh, and it's like, I have found the secret to look smart when you don't understand what's going on. You just kind of look back, kind of grab your chin, you're like, yeah, okay, tell me more about that, you know. I found out that works on your spouse as well when you don't really understand, right? You can just say, oh, yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm doing that because she's not in here right now, so... Hey, listen, that's just a free tip right there. I'm just giving you that because I want you to come back in February. We're going to start a series on relationship reset. And listen, that's not just marriage. How many of you know it's all relationships? So I just want to put that plug in there. But here's the thing that this one I wanted to show too. I'm like, how is that worth anything? That's like somebody grabbed the tubes of paint and just went, you know, we give it to our preschoolers and they went to town with it. So... But somehow that's worth money. I don't understand it. But here's what I had noticed going into these studios is all of the amazing frames that are around some of them. How many of you ever noticed that? Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes the frames get more of my attention than the picture. I'm not lying. Because here's one thing that I've noticed. However, and they know what they're doing. when they frame it, it makes it and enhances the painting that's already in there. It makes it look even better. It's like, wow, you know, that's really cool. So maybe you didn't get along with the lens idea, but here, concerning painting, how many of you know our life really is a canvas? And there are circumstances that are being painted in our life that we don't always understand. Like, God, why am I going through this? Why is that brushstroke there? Lord, why did that happen? I don't really understand it. So you may not understand all the things that are going on in your life that's being painted on your canvas. But I tell you, you can control the frame that you put around that. And I'm going to expound on that, what that looks like. Because a lot of times when you and I go through difficulty, you might frame it with doubt. Like, oh, I don't think God's in this. You know what? This isn't good. Or this is a bad situation. You might frame it in fear. Like, oh man, I don't know what's going on. And you're just living in fear all the time. Or maybe a frame of like, you know what? I guess I just don't really matter. I guess my life doesn't count for anything. God doesn't care about me. I mean, we can frame it. Here's what I want you to understand in your notes. You can write this. You can reframe your life. You have the ability to reframe it. You can say, instead of fear, I'm going to frame this situation that I don't really understand in faith. I'm going to believe that God's going to be doing something out of it instead of living my life in fear. I'm going to frame it in the goodness of God. God, you are good. I mean, we sing that song occasionally here. All my life, you've been so, so good. How many of you know? That means even through the bad times. You can frame it with peace. Lord God, the storms are rocking, the waves are blowing, but Lord, I've got peace, I've got hope, and I've got joy. How many of you know you get to choose the frame? And you may not be able to change the paintings, you may not be able to change the paintbrushes and all of that, but guess what? We can change how we frame it, amen? And I believe that's what's going on with the Apostle Paul. You have in your notes Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to read it up here, but I want to kind of set the background. Paul is under house arrest, basically prison. He can't go anywhere. If he gets anything, he has to have people bring it to him. And the reason he is in there is not because he robbed anybody. It's because he was preaching the gospel. How many of you know he was doing the right thing and the wrong thing seemed to be happening to him? Anybody ever feel that in life? God, I was doing the right thing. Why is the wrong thing happening? And we feel like that. And so here's Paul. There are, at the same time, there's some people that are out there. They're stirring up trouble while he's in there. And they're not advancing the kingdom because they love God. They're doing it to come against Paul. So let's read it, and then I'm going to expound on that. Starting at verse 12, he goes, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone that I am in chains for Christ." So he's confessing, "I'm here. I'm basically jailed up. I've got chains on." And he says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." And he says, "It is true, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel." And check out these guys. "The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition." How many of you know there's still people that preach Christ out of selfish ambition? They're doing it for themselves. "Not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in here." And so that's not a great situation, is it? How many of you be mad at some of those guys? Let's be honest. I feel like, man, you know, you jerks. Yeah. They're out there doing that. But here's how Paul chooses to frame it in verse 18. What does it matter? He starts out, you know what? Yeah, all that stuff is happening. What does it matter? He says, "The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motive or true, Christ is preached, and because of that, I rejoice." Amen. How many of you know that's a different way of looking at it? Right? Paul is basically saying, you know, what's actually happening to me is advancing the gospel. And I'm encouraged, and I want to encourage you guys that whatever this year holds, you've got a choice. You have a choice this year to see what is happening in your life, or you have a choice to see what is actually happening in your life. And I'm just going to, how many of you know that's two different things? That's not the same thing. Most people only look at the happenings of their life like, oh man, this is what I got going on. Paul could have done that at this situation in his life. He's under house arrest. He's got chains on. People are stirring up trouble for him. He could have rewritten Philippians this way. Life is awful. I was trying to do the right thing, and it got me arrested. And now these idiots are stirring up trouble for me. Yes, I said that in church. These guards are not kind. This food stinks. Man, life sucks. How many, he could have done that. Yes, I said that in church too. So here's the thing. Paul is not looking at just what is happening. Now, I want you to catch this. Paul isn't ignorant about the situation he's in. I mean, he confesses, I'm in chains. So Paul is not advocating for you to be in a bad situation and ignore reality. How many of you know that's not the thing? For you to go, well, everything's horrible. God bless, hallelujah, I'm just doing wonderful. He's not asking you to do that. Paul's saying, I'm in chains, but guess what? He goes, my eyes see beyond what is actually happening here, or what is happening to the things that are actually happening. Right? How many of you know there are things that we can't always see that God is doing? And so we've got to realize, God, you're working. How many of you know God is working bigger and better things in our life? If we're living our life for him, God's working behind the scenes and you may not even know it. Amen? He's working on our behalf because God is always working. God is always doing something. He's not up there taking a nap somewhere. He hasn't forgotten you. And so we know God is up to something. And I understand we all are going through stuff. Am I right? Right? Maybe you have issues in your marriage, or maybe you've got kids that are going haywire, or grandkids, and you're like, oh God, what's happening to my kids? Maybe you got financial pressures that you just don't know how you're going to get out, or maybe there's health issues, right? How many of you know there's a lot of issues in life? And you're like, you can say, listen, I know this is happening, so I don't want to downplay the pain that we actually go through, or negate the reality. Or even that anxiety, oh, I've got anxiety over this. Man, that's not real. Just trust God, right? How many of you know that's a cheap answer right there? I just want to propose to you that, you know what? You may be going through those painful things, but God is in the background still working. Amen? The Bible says this, and if we really believe it, Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. We quote that verse around here often. If we really believe it, how many of you know the all things actually includes whatever it is that you're going through right now? We can't say, oh, God works together in all things except what I'm going through. So whatever you're going through, if you allow God, he's going to work it for your good, for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That means I've got to align my life with him. Listen, if I'm living my life for myself, bad things just stay bad things. But if I will submit my life to him and begin to live for him, God's going to take all of the pain, all the difficulty, all of the challenges, and that's how we put a new frame around it. Okay, God, I don't understand this situation, but I know you're up to something. Amen? I know you're up to something. You could put faith around it instead of fear or hope, right? Or you could have this crazy name, I wrote it down. I don't know what's going on, but I know God's up to something great that is going to advance his kingdom in my life. Why? Because God is working. He's working for your good. And so Paul is saying, what is actually happening is advancing the gospel. And I can rejoice in that. And so some of the right motives, wrong motives, he says, I don't care. You know what? I'm not a judge of their motives, whatever they're doing, but I'm going to frame this season of my life that I'm in joy. And so what does he say again? Let's go back. This is what he frames it in. He's like, it doesn't matter, false motive. He goes, and because of this, I rejoice. You know what his frame is? It's joy. I'm framing, this is a joyful season. Like, how can you say that when you're under house arrest? He kind of doubles down on it. Look what he goes on to say. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. So it's not like, oh, hallelujah, praise God. No, it's like, you know what? As long as I'm in this situation, I'm going to rejoice. Amen? How many of you know that would be a great breakthrough in our life? Because some of us can't even find joy when you're stuck in traffic. Come on, am I telling the truth? We've got to frame it. Imagine what would change in your life if whatever it is that you're going through right now, that you feel overwhelmed and all of that about, if you chose to say, God, I don't understand this all, but I'm going to frame this in joy. Amen? And I'm not some happy feeling. How many of you know happiness and joy are two different things? Happiness comes, because let's be honest, some of the things people are going through, there's nothing happy about it. Right? I can't fake a smile, but I want to tell you, you can have joy no matter what when you know that God's up to something. Amen? Paul didn't have joy in the chains. He had joy in what was going on despite his chains. Amen? How many of you know God never says, rejoice for all the terrible things that you're going through? Like, oh, Jesus, thank you for this cancer diagnosis. What a gift. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Right? He doesn't say that, does he? Let's look at what exactly he says in Thessalonians. He says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of you know in is different than for? Amen? So it's not like, oh God, I lost my job, hallelujah. You don't have to rejoice in the circumstance, but in spite of the circumstance, I have the ability to have joy. As a matter of fact, it says, this is God's will for you, to be able to find joy no matter what you're going through. And let me just say, you can only do that when you begin to reframe it and begin to say, okay, God, I don't understand it, but I believe that you're up to something. Amen? Because I believe you. Paul wasn't rejoicing for his chains. He was rejoicing because there was something better coming. He didn't know when and he didn't know how, but he was able to frame it. So I'm going to give you three thoughts today. This is how Paul was able to reframe it. Number one, he had confidence in God's provision. How many of you know he is our provider? Actually, that's one of his names, Jehovah Jireh, right? He is our provider. And so Philippians 19, the next verse after he just said all of that, he says, for I know that through your prayers, there's two things here, and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So how many of you realize that's how important it is to pray for one another? That's why it's important to be connected. I mean, these prayer requests that are on this cross right here, we're praying for them every week. If you haven't had a chance to write a prayer request and put it, next Sunday night, we're going to have a worship and prayer night, and we're believing for breakthrough, amen? And so we pray for it. You know, if you don't know anybody, how many of you know, it's like, man, I'm going through this, and I don't even have anybody to call. Right? If you're just like a face that comes in and a face that leaves. And so it's on us to be connected. But he says, through your prayers, but our prayers are connected to who? To God, right? I'm not praying to Buddha. How many of you know I could pray all day long to Buddha? You're not going to get any answer, right? We're praying to God. And that's why through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he says, this is going to turn out for my deliverance. I believe that. God is my provider. Paul didn't know how. He didn't know when. But he knew that God was with him and that God would take care of him. And I just want to remind you that that same help Paul was confident in is available to each and every one of us. Amen? What you're going through, the Holy Spirit is there to provide for you. And guess what? That means as believers, we don't have to run around like Chicken Little every time we think the sky is falling. Oh no, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. What are we going to do? We're going to look to God. Amen? We're going to look. He is my provider. God is the one that provides for it. And how many of you know, God's provision is not just financial. A lot of time we hear that and it's like, oh yeah, God, you know, God does provide in that way. But how many of you know his provision is even more than that? Amen? God provides for our mental health. Amen? That we can have a right mind and a sound mind. Emotional. How many of you know God can help us emotionally? Maybe you're struggling with depression or whatever it is. God is the one that can provide you peace in your mind. Amen? How many of you know that's worth way more than finances? And you're like, well, you haven't seen my bank account, Pastor. No, seriously. You could be broke and at peace, or you can be rich and tormented. What's your choice? It's like, I'll take peace in all circumstances, amen? Here's the bottom line, and listen, bottom line is, God can help your emotional needs, he can help your spiritual needs, and yes, he can help you in your financial needs, amen? So when we have God helping, it's let me tell you, if the Bible says if God is for you, then who can be against you? Well, that person did this, and that person did that. I don't care. God's still on my team. Or maybe it's better, I'm on God's team. Right? I'm on his team. I've got the help of Almighty God. I don't need the help from the White House. I don't need the help from the State House. I don't need the help from my boss or my mom or even your broke uncle. Amen? You've got Almighty God on your side. He's walking with you. He's providing. God directs you. So how did Paul reframe it? He says, I may be in chains, but guess what? I got the help from God, and it's coming. And he didn't have all the details. Often we don't. I think the details of how God's going to provide for you are always above our pay grade. Isn't that right? It's like, but I trust God. I don't know how it's going to happen. God is not obligated to give you all the details. Our job is just to trust him. Our job is to walk in faith. And so here's the thing. God does this over and over and over again in our life. And what I have found, I mean, I experienced it at times, so I'm not like, I've never had this, but many people, God provides, you get through it, you're praising the Lord, and then all of a sudden another circumstance comes, and all of a sudden panic comes again. That means that we have gotten a case of spiritual amnesia. We forget what God has done, right? It's like, didn't he already provide? How many of you know that's why Israel, they would always recount the whole deliverance from the Egyptians, because they had to remind, because if you're not careful, you know, God may have provided for you last week, but then all of a sudden you got another bill and you're like, oh no, now what? And it's like, well, the same now what is the one that provided before. Amen. I mean, I love this picture here. They made it through the Red Sea. The Israelites made it through the Red Sea. Water parted. Incredible miracle. Nothing ever seen like it. And immediately they get to the other side and there's no water to drink. And now they're complaining. Did you not like forget what happened yesterday? Right? How did you forget that? And so let's remember, if God's provided before, how many of you know he'll do it again? Amen. Amen. We can count on it. Paul counted on it. Number two is that we can be confident in God's plan. And Paul was. Like I said, let's go back to that verse again. At the end of it, he says, like, you know, through your prayers, the help, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Right? He was fully confident that where he was at was not his permanent address. Amen? Like, here I am under house arrest. And he's like, listen, this is temporary. Like, I'm not going to be here forever. I know that whatever God's plan is, it's going to work out for my deliverance. And here's the challenge I think that we have. Some of us, sometimes we hit difficulties or challenges, and instead of going through it, guess what? We end up building our house there. What am I talking about? Psalms 23:4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's like, okay, I went through this situation, and now I guess that's my new address. I live on Valley of the Shadow of Death Road now. I'm just there now, right? This is my life. You know what? I'm in this pit. This is what I've got. And here's the thing. I did a thorough Greek study of this word through. You know what it means? In one side and out the other, right? Isn't that deep? How many of you know the things that you are going through and challenges, God never intended for you to reroute all of your mail to that address? Amen. He never intended for you to like, hey, you know what? I'm going to invite my friends over to my broken house dream, my home of a negativity or place of disappointment. No, he wants us to go. We go in them, but he's got a plan to get you out. Amen. That's why even David, I don't have the whole psalm up here. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. God, I know I'm going to get through this. And that's the confidence that you can have when you're going through challenges. You can reframe it and like, man, this is temporary. This isn't God's plan. This isn't where I'm going to end out. I'm going to pass through this. Amen. And Paul's saying, I may be under house arrest, like I said, but this isn't my permanent address. Why? Because he knew God had a better plan. He's working behind the scene. He didn't know what it was going to be, but he trusted God. Amen. And I want to tell you, you can trust God no matter what you're going through. Some of you, you live life just in the natural realm. And we live just simply by what we see, not what is really there. Amen. And so you got to trust God that he's got a plan. Because if it's working it for our good, can I say this? If it's not good yet, then God's not done. Amen. Does that make sense? If it's not good, if you're not dead, how many of you know he's still working? And if you're dead, guess where you're at? In the presence of God. Amen. So here's the thing. God has a plan. Our job is to trust God's plan and then to take steps of faith as God reveals his plan. And so how many of you know a plan doesn't work unless you work the plan? God's got a plan for your life. And some people are like, I love the word in the prayer this morning. It was like how many of you know we got to actually, if you're going to slay a giant, right, you got to pull out your sword. You can't be like, okay, God, your plan is that I would slay the giant. Let me just eat, cherry bonbons and sit on the couch and watch TV. All right, does it work that way? No, we've got to do something. We got to take steps of faith in order for God's plan to work out in our life. And let me just say this. There's so much of God's plan that's already revealed in his word. Amen. So many things that we're not even doing. And we're like, God, I'm waiting for your plan. And he's basically saying, listen, do what I've already told you to do. And then you will begin to see things unfold in your life. Like I'm just going to touch on this, but it's a great example. How many of you know our finances, God already has a plan for that. He's revealed it, in the matter of our giving, and we believe it's in a tithe. God instituted it before the Old Testament, and it's like, okay, God, I need you to do something. It's like, I've already told you one thing to do, so do that. What about relationship? I already told you to walk in forgiveness. When are you going to do that? All of these things, God's already given us so much that we're not even doing. So we're asking God to reveal more, and God's going to be like, I'm not going to reveal more until you do what I've already told you to do. Amen. Amen? So our job is to take steps of faith as God reveals his plan. And listen, let me just say this. If you're in a situation you don't have clarity, you don't know what to do, what's another verse? Be still and know that I am God. How many of you know you don't always have to be moving? Every now and then you can say, God, I don't know what step to take. I don't know where to go. And so I'm just going to calm myself down. I'm going to be still, and I'm going to wait for God to give me direction. Amen? Many times we have called things that are a step of faith, and God was not in it at all. Amen. Oh, God told me to do this. And then all of a sudden it crashes and burns, and you blame God for something you wanted to do. Amen. Why did God allow this? And it's like, God didn't want you to do it in the first place. You jumped ahead. Amen. I know somebody else is out there. It's not just me that has done that. We want to blame God for the impatience in our own life. And so we got to learn to be still and have wisdom. Have other people around like, man, that's not a good idea. You better not do that. So be still and know that he is God. And Paul is saying, the reason I can frame it is because I know God's working for my deliverance. I know he's working for my good. Final thought, number three, he says he has confidence in God's purpose. So I want to read ahead, verse 20 out of Philippians. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, if I had to bet, when I was talking about deliverance, most of us thought, hey, listen, that means God's getting him out of that prison. How many of you realize Paul never got out? He ended up dying there. And Paul had this idea. He was so confident in God's purpose. He says, you know what? If I walk out of this house free, praise God. But if I walk into heaven from this, I'm good either way. I just want to say that is a major step of maturity in the life of a believer, where you trust God's purpose so much that it's like, whether I live or die, you know what? It doesn't matter, because I know God's purpose is happening in my life. And you can say, listen, if I go in this situation into eternity, fine by me. Amen. And you know how many missionaries have gone overseas into places that some of them lost their life, and they knew that was a possibility. They're like, you know what? I'm going to obey God because God's purposes are going to happen regardless. If deliverance looks like death, then that is what Paul is saying. Listen, I'll be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. But if deliverance looks like these shackles coming off of my wrists and I walk out, then I'm living my life for God. Amen. That's why he could say, listen, for me to live is Christ. That means, okay, I'm all in with Christ, but to die, listen, I count that as a gain. I mean, think about it. It's like when we're all there, it's like we don't have the mess that we have to deal with anymore. How many of you know there are no politics in heaven? Not that that's been a divisive issue in our world today, but here's the thing. Because we live our life for Christ. If we die, we're in the presence of Jesus. And I don't know if you realize that. That is a win-win situation in life. Some people without Christ, if you die, you lose. If we die, we win even big, right? We get the grand prize. We hit the jackpot that way. And so that's why, I mean, even talking about these Bibles, a reason a lot of countries do not allow that in because they want to control their people. And if the people can get the idea and understand that God's got purposes and plans and they can no longer threaten them with death, then how many of you know they can't control them anymore? They can't control them anymore. And so I don't want to be controlled by the fear of death. It's like, God, I want to live my purpose for you. And whatever that looks like, if 1,000 souls come to the Lord, that's a win. But if I go home to be with the Lord, can I tell you, that's a win. That's a thought. Paul could frame that because he knows I've already won. I mean, we read in our men's Bible study on Friday, it says that we have already passed from death to life. And I thought that was such a good verse. I think it was out of John 5 that listen, that's already past tense. The moment you accept Jesus as your Savior, how many of you know that's the moment your eternal life already begins? Amen. It's like, yeah, there's a bump in the road somewhere where we physically die or the Lord comes back. But listen, you're already living your eternity right there. And so I want to live my life for him. Here's the thing that Paul didn't know. And at the time of his confinement, I mean, before he was planting churches all over the place. And how many of you know that's a good thing? You plant a church, people come to know Christ. But here's the thing. While he was in prison, we call them the prison epistles. He wrote 4 separate letters, one to Ephesians, one to Philippians that we've been reading out of, to Colossians and to Philemon. And there's a lot of doctrine and a lot of stuff that we get out of that. Paul had no idea that thousands of years later, billions of people will be reading the words and giving their life to the Lord and making life changes because of that. You have no idea. You have no idea how God's going to use the circumstances of your life. If he would have just planted 4 more churches, that would have been amazing. But how many of you know what God was doing in his life? He would have been like, man, I'm doing that. I'm on that. This gospel has gone forth, not just to Cameron Park it's going to Iran. How many of you know, I was listening to one of the things. There are only about 20% of people in Iran now that are Muslim. They're abandoning it, or Islam. They're abandoning it. And there is such a huge underground church in Iran right now. And guess what? It's because the word of God is there and it's changing. And some of them only have pieces of it. They don't even have the whole thing. Ukraine, the gospel is going forth. North Korea, how many of you know? Whatever his name, I can never say it right. He can't ever, he's trying to stop it, but he can't. South America, Eastern, Western Europe, Kenya, all of it. The gospel is going forth. And Paul says, listen, I see the change, but what is actually happening is the gospel's going forward. Amen? And I want to tell you, you may never know on this side of eternity of what God is doing in your life. Amen? You may never know it. It's like, I want to know. God. Well, you'll find out one day. You may have some great grandkids down the road. And they're like, oh, yeah, I remember my grandma or my grandfather or whatever. And, man, the way they lived their life for the Lord, it just inspired me so much. And you know what? I want to live my life that way. It may be somebody that you shared Christ with, and it might have been a passing moment, and you shared the love of Christ. They accepted Christ, and you know, we don't know what they do from that point. but they go on to lead even more people to Christ. Because we believe the purposes of God will be accomplished. How many of you know hell can't stop it? Government certainly can't stop it. How many of you believe that? Amen. Do you receive the word today? God wants to use you in your good times, in your bad times, in your challenges. You may be able to say, you know what? I can't control the breaststrokes, but I choose from this day forward to frame it differently. Amen. I'm going to frame it differently. I still believe that God's doing something. Can I have everybody stand, and you can dim the lights if you can. I know that there's a lot of people going through stuff in this room. Yeah, and I don't want to take a moment and pray over those situations. If you're here, just say, listen, I'm going through some stuff right now, and I need to begin to reframe that. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? And we're going to pray. Lord, I see several people. Lord God, we thank you that you've given us the ability to see things differently. Lord, to realize that you are still working. And Lord, those that are going through challenges today in their life, in their family, Lord, the pressures are there. Father, I pray that you give them a different perspective today. Yes, we're asking for answers. Lord, we're praying for those things. But Lord God, I pray that they would look to you for the help that comes only from you. Lord, we thank you for that. And listen, I just want to say this as well. You can't expect the help from the Holy Spirit if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. That means that we've got to surrender our life to him. And so I want to challenge you today, even in that. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I know about God, but I've never really surrendered my life to him. I've never said, God, I'm all in. If I live, I live for you. And if I die, I'm going with you. If you've not made that kind of a commitment, well, I don't want to make this a public thing, but if everybody could just bow your head, pleasure. If you say, Pastor, I want to make a fresh commitment to him today, can you just raise your hand and then you can put it down? I want to know who I'm praying for. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we all just say this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. That you so love the world that you sent your only son, even for me. I'm important to you, even if I don't see it. So I give you my life today. Help me to live this day forward with my eyes on you and make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to tell you, reframe it today. How many of you are going to have different perspective today than you did yesterday? Or even when you came in, all right? So let's give the Lord a big hand clap. He is worthy. Hey, listen, I challenge you. We got a lot of stuff going on. Bible studies. We got one starting up in another few weeks, right? It's not too long. There's a sign up for James's Bible study, or prayer study class. So see him. That's starting up in soon. And you guys be blessed and have a great day. Amen.